There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right. As we get started here, hour number two of Midday Mobile on this Thursday, I see this headline on one of our monitors in here. Xi touts the creation of a better world order. So my conversation from last hour, why, you know, I sure hope there's some discussion from the Western world on some kind of peace, you know, or at least the discussion of peace for Ukraine. And some kind of brokerage there. I think Sean earlier is like, well, why not let the Chinese do it? We're not going to do it anyway. I want us to do it anyway because, you see, there you go, Sean. Xi touts the creation of a better world order. I want to, for a limited time, would like to hold on to being, you know, the dominant player on this planet for the United States. But maybe we hand that over. We'll hand it over to China? We'll share that with China? I don't know. If I'm down with that. All right. I'll get to this Loyola story here in a second, too. This is something. This will be something for you. But update here. This came out from WPMI. It says Mobile police responded to a call of two people shot early Thursday afternoon. So that's like now, you know, I mean, we're just at 108. So that must have just happened last, last hour. It says, yeah, Mobile police responded to a call of two people shot early Thursday afternoon at the intersection of Cuba and Congress Street. Currently assessing the situation, one person has been shot. Oh, my God. You know what I'm going to say, so I won't even do it. Enough of this. It's too much. Oh, and the, by the way, the, you know, we talked about Credit Suisse yesterday. You know, as part of this big banking contagion out there, and that the Saudis weren't going to continue to bank, put money in there, you know, put more money into Credit Suisse. Well, now I guess the Swiss government's going to do it, so Credit Suisse is back okay. This from CNBC says Credit Suisse shares rose over 30% at the market open after the bank said that it would borrow up to $54 billion from the Swiss National Bank. Yeah, it comes after shares of Credit Suisse plunged to a fresh all-time low on Wednesday when top investor in the Saudi National Bank said it would not pump any more cash in due to regulatory restrictions. If I'm the Swiss, they're a pretty smart bunch, I'd have said, hey, before we put our money from the Swiss National Bank in there, why don't we just change the regulatory restriction? I mean, you already got Saudi money in there. You know, I'm not crazy about that, but, you know, just let them put more in there. So the Swiss National Bank and the Swiss Financial Market Supervisory Authority said in a statement that Credit Suisse, quote, meets the capital and liquidity requirements imposed on systemically important banks, end quote. There you go. So once that money's there, then the shares rose 30% at today's market open. So it's all's good with Credit Suisse. I don't bank with them. So it's really just kind of a story. And while we're in Europe for a second, while we're here, while we're doing the European thing, did you see the story about Macron? So, the interesting story. So, French President Macron has raised the retirement age in France. So, you know, it's when we talk about Europe and, you know, kind of European socialism, right? Because that's what has been pushed by a lot of the Democrats when they talk about socialism is more of a European-style socialism. And, you know, you've heard the stories. I mean, the amount of vacation you're guaranteed and all that in France and high taxes, but like, you know, you don't have to go to work. So eventually these things catch up with themselves. And it looks like this is happening now. So the story from AP says French President Emmanuel Macron imposed a highly unpopular bill raising the retirement age from 62 to 64. And he shunned Parliament and invoked a special constitutional power, so like an executive action over their legislative branch. Lawmakers were shouting. Can you hear that? Can you hear the French lawmakers shouting in your head right now? Their voices shaking with emotion as Macron made the risky move, which is expected to trigger quick motions of no confidence in his government. Riot police vans zoom by outside the National Assembly with their sirens wailing. We can all hear that kind of the Interpol siren sound in all the movies when they're in Europe, right? The proposed pension changes have prompted major strikes and protests across the country. Listen, that Wednesday brings major strikes and protests in France. Alternate Saturdays do. I mean, that's kind of a thing. They said Macron, who made it the flagship of his second term, argued the reform is needed to keep the pension system from diving into deficit as France's population ages and life expectancy lengthens. You see the analog here, right? With the discussion of Social Security, right? You do see this. And this is the European socialist mecca of France, said the decision to invoke the special power was made during a cabinet meeting and just a few minutes before the scheduled vote because Macron had no guarantee of a majority in France's lower house of parliament. Then as Prime Minister Elisabeth Borne tried to formally announce the decision at the National Assembly, leftist members broke into the French national anthem, delaying her speech. The speaker had to briefly suspend the session to restore order, but it goes down this way. He may not last long. It says here, Borne, this is the prime minister there, said, today there's uncertainty about whether a majority would have voted for a bill by just a few votes. We cannot risk to see 175 hours of parliamentary debate collapse. We cannot gamble on the future of our pensions. That reform is necessary. In few days, I have no doubts there will be one or several no-confidence motions. There will actually be a proper vote, and therefore parliamentary democracy will have the last say, she added. And so they're saying they're going to vote on it, just not right now. This is, and it gets into more of the chaos and everything going on there, but I think the bigger story for us back here in the States is this is France, right? And he moved the retirement age by 2 years, and it's causing the same thing. You talk about any change in Social Security, and I get it. I won't get it. I hope I get it, but I would like to have some of that money back. But if it's how are we going to? I mean, we're deficit spending on so many things out there. At the same time, you have this projected insolvency for Social Security here in the United States. But politically, it is. It's a hot wire, you know, you can't touch it to mention any kind of idea. I mean, it would be President Biden impugning others, you know, out there that would dare discuss doing anything to Social Security. But if the whole thing falls apart, what's it good for? And this is left France. This is European socialist France. And they're even saying, We got to move their retirement age from 62 to 64, or this whole thing's going to come undone. So we got to watch this from, you know, across the Atlantic here and say, what do the French know that we're not admitting to? Oh, also, side story here, but this one I want to clear, too. I knew you were on the edge of your seats about this. A Daily Beast has posted that CNN's latest primetime gambit has been a ratings failure. By the way, gambit in the list of words I like the word gambit, said amid its worst ratings in over a decade, CNN recently sought to reinvent its primetime strategy. Remember what that was? Remember that they were going to try to be just somewhat towards the center and real news and not just a I Hate Donald Trump channel? Said more than a year after firing its most watched anchor, Chris Cuomo, over an ethics scandal involving his disgraced ex-governor brother, the cable news pioneer has struggled. Don't you know Ted Turner's going, what have y'all done there? Has struggled to find a permanent replacement in the 9 p.m. time slot. Last month, the network decided to fill in the pivotal hour with town hall events and specials, focusing on hot-button news topics as well as interviews with prominent politicians and celebrities. It says in the story, it says, since implementing that formula late last month, however, CNN has yet to see viewers embrace the new direction. In fact, CNN's primetime specials have attracted a smaller audience than the network's regular programming in that same time slot this year. Listen, there are plenty of podcasts and YouTube channels that do more than CNN does. Said since the start of the year, CNN has averaged 679,000 total viewers in the 9 p.m. time slot. Whenever Anderson Cooper, whose nightly program airs at 8 p.m., has anchored that hour. And it says, by comparison, network special town hall events that have aired in the 9 p.m. hour since late February have attracted only 429,000 total viewers and 101,000 in the key demographic. They can't pay salaries for that. So you see the cable news networks, a lot of them going back to the bread and butter. I pointed this out during the Murdaugh trial, right? The old days of just having cameras in courtrooms that works for them. But CNN, they're kind of brushing past the fact that at least part of what they said they were going to do with CNN is try to make it not so much of a hit piece, right, against conservatives, and more like maybe it used to be, which was always left of center, but it wasn't off the edge of the world. They're going to, you know, try to get to be more center and maybe center left or whatever. But is that not working? Is that the only? We say we want that. I do want that. I do like that. And what I end up doing is pulling from all sides and mashing all these different pundits together to try to figure out what might be closer to truth. But is there a market there for down the middle news? I guess CNN is going to be the test case for that. We'll see, but they're not doing well as of right now. All right, let's go to the Ascension Technologies text line here and read. First up, Don. You know, Sean, this Russia drone thing is all Tom Cruise's fault. Maybe he should have made another. He should make another Top Gun sequel about that. Why don't we invite the Russians to Pensacola and let them take on the Blue Angels? You know, what about this? A Top Gun-like movie, but it's all drone operators, right, that are back at Central Command? And we can, do the drone operators get cool call signs, too? Or like, and then the next Top Gun out is just going to be people back at Central Command flying drones against each other. And then a volleyball scene, probably. Yeah.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 122 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Hey, starting tomorrow, bright and early, 10 a.m., the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show opens up, three-day run. Goes 10 to 6 tomorrow, 10 to 6 on Saturday, and 10 to 4 on Sunday. And you can get your tickets online right now at wharfboatshow.com. You know, I heard Dan talking about it this morning during the morning show. You're right, Dan. Like, the ticket price, $20 at the gate. You know, the one-day pass is $20. And at the gate, you might have to wait in line. You can go online and buy that one-day ticket for $20. But you, for $25, you can get an event-long three-day pass. So you want to come and go and come back and look at a boat and go home and come back and look at the boat again. Listen, you can do it all 3 days, $25. Those tickets available at wharfboatshow.com. Your children, 12 and under, are free. So check it out. $100 million in boats and marine products on display, one place at the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show, consistently the top boat buying show in the Northern Gulf. And it's really cool, too, because you got like 700 sport and console boats that are on land. But what makes this different as well is 120 wet slip boats and yachts on display. So, like for me, it's like, go look at the boat that I might get up there on land and then go daydreaming as I walk down and see those in the wet slips. It's very cool. In addition to just the boats and all that, there's activities going on each day. And there's one I keep focusing on here, because this guy, Larry Rackley, I don't know if you don't know who I'm talking about. He's a marine artist, and you can Google Larry Rackley and see his work. I've got to hang out with him at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. He's just a fantastic painter. Just the realism of the stuff he paints is something. He's got kids' art classes going on. So if you got a child showing some propensity or interest in painting or doing art like that, this guy not only does it well, he makes, I imagine, Larry, if you're listening, a pretty good living doing it. and probably can point those children in the right way. So that's going on as well. Listen, the details on all this stuff are over at wharfboatshow.com, where you can pick up your tickets and get more info on what starts tomorrow, 3 days of a great boat show at the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show. All right, to the text line we go, which, by the way, just minutes to give you the like the 10-minute warning here. My friend Bill Finch will be joining us in just a little bit. You know, yesterday I was getting texts from y'all. I think Tim was talking about what nights he covered his tomatoes and didn't. I did not cover last night, much to my chagrin. I covered for two nights and then didn't last night. Bill's going to give us the rundown on tomatoes and a whole bunch of other stuff. Let's see. $35 million in 1933 is worth $792, a lot of commas here, the $792 million today. Still far less than what Mobile's about to spend. Brandon says 62 is the new 50. What we're talking about, if you didn't hear it, and I think this should be a real warning to folks. So Macron, French President Macron, went like end around executive action, which, you know, I'm not a fan of here in our republic and elsewhere, but they said they had to do it and they're going to do a vote on it. But he moved their retirement age. Now, this is European socialist France, right? This is, you know who I'm talking about, the French. Macron said they had to move their retirement age from 62 to 64. And, you know, a France where you get like, somebody can pull it up. You get like guaranteed, like long vacations and all these things in France. So this is the work environment there. They're not some, you know, slave drivers out there, right? They're very liberal with these things. So Macron says, hey, France, we have got to move the retirement age from 62 to 64 because we're going to collapse this pension system. You know, that their social security. But if anybody dares talk, and I don't like it, believe me, I would like to get the money. I want my relatives and older relatives to continue to get, I'm there. And I get so teed off because it's actually in the Ponzi scheme that is social security. We put money into the thing, you know, we can get the money back out. But you can't have a fair discussion here about social security because it's a political third rail, right? You talk about it, you can get impugned and you hate old people or whatever it is. But if France is saying, hey, we got to make some fundamental changes here or this is going to collapse, at least have the discussion. At least have the stones to have the discussion here in the United States and talk about what's real. Now, the problem is, do we trust that we're going to get a discussion of what's real in Washington? I don't know. But if you look at the actuarial tables, you look at all like it's not going to keep going at this pace. So should we address that now instead of like Washington likes to do some emergency situation where then it's panic and we just throw more deficit spending at it? So the Mariner says, oh, I was talking about the CNN numbers with their new changes there. FM Talk 106.5 has better numbers than that. We're achieving that, which, by the way, like I said, thank you for listeners of this show. Ben, your support and the ratings has been fantastic. Keep it up. Thank you. I get to do this because y'all listen and report on that, and it means a lot to me. Sean says InfoWars gets more viewers than CNN, MSNBC combined. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on the internet that does and podcasts that do. IT Jesus says CNN has already soured themselves to the middle. You know, and you got to think about what Ted Turner's got to, I mean, Ted's probably like, well, I just count that money. But he got to look at it and go, come on, guys. I gave you a model that would work, and you did this, and now this is not working. You know, why'd y'all have to go, let me use a high-tech term my dad always used to use with me when I'd mess with something. Why you got a monkey with that? You know, why don't you just do the old model of CNN and just kept making that money? I mean, I know Fox came in and took a big chunk out of them, but not as much as they've done damage to themselves now. From back to the Ascension Technologies text line here, many American companies have left France. There's no productivity. Right. So, I mean, that's what I get that part. That's how I'm staging this, though, that if France is having, which is a big, I mean, there's protests going on and, you know, it's got them surrounding the buildings and stuff, and they're screaming in the French parliament, ooh la la. if France is saying this is serious enough to move their retirement age to not have this class, but we don't dare ever talk about it here. All right. I'll get chilled out or get worried about my tomatoes. My friend Bill Finch, plain gardening on the Gulf Coast. He's coming up next right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. Getting ready to talk to my buddy Bill Finch. Of course, you check his show out Sundays, Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast, and the super popular podcast. Segment of the show brought to you by my friend Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles. And it is a few times a week, at least, if not more, I get asked about the bike I'm riding. And you can look at the pictures on our Facebook page or the Instagram that I ride my e-bike to try to take some of the fire out of my young German short hair pointer puppy and also get some exercise at the same time. And the e-bike I'm riding is from manufacturer Magnum, and it is the Scout, and it's the off-road bike, and that's where my bike stays. I mean, I ride gravel, sand, dirt roads, uphills, you know, downhills, all that. And it's first of all, the suspension can handle it. You know, I remember the first time I squared up on a longleaf pine cone, I said, uh-oh, this is going to be bad. I'm like, nah, just crushes it, go right through. 4-inch tires, heavy-duty suspension. And with that e-bike, two things I will hear. People say, well, how fast will it go? It will. I've never done it, but with pedaling and the full assist there, you can get it to like 28 miles an hour. But what I do is I put it in a thing called eco mode. And so I'm getting my exercise, but when I'm going up some hill that's going to tax me, or I get in a real sandy section of road or something like that, it kicks in. You know, it kicks in and gives you that boost. Say you're riding at 8 miles an hour. It kicks in and keeps you at that 8 miles an hour. And what's good for me about exercise with that is I just ride longer. I don't get to where I'm going, man, I don't want to do it. I told you, I ride this bike. When I got it, I thought, this is going to be cool. I'm going to ride it a couple times a week. I ride 6 days a week on this bike for sure. It's that much fun. You get the exercise, but also I have the speed to run the legs out of that dog. And I use it, you know, I use it around the farm. And like I've told you, I'm going to be using it this turkey season as well. And I'll be posting some pictures up of that. Listen, 400 bicycles in stock, 50 e-bikes in stock, and you can come take a test ride on the e-bikes and the other bikes at Adventure Earth Bicycles. My buddy Clint's been doing this for 10 years at their current location, Airport and Little Flower, right next to Ruth's Chris. And you can go online, you can Google Adventure Earth Bicycles or adventure-earth.com. Check out the inventory and go see it in person. It's Clint Jameson, Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you outside. Go check out the bike I'm riding, the Magnum Scout. I think if you like to ride off-road, you're going to dig it. All right, and what a perfect segue into my friend. When you talk about being outside and bicycles, one thing that comes to mind is Bill Finch. Hey, man.
How are you? Yes, ride my bike to the radio station every day. Listen, we got some new electric bikes for the research center, which is pretty cool.
Are you liking yours? Are you like riding?
They're great. Now, yes, they're great. And everybody who's ridden them really loves them. They don't appreciate how much of an assist you get on some of these really rough roads. And it really makes a big difference in who can use a bike and who can't.
Yeah, I'm 50, and I'm now back into riding bicycles.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool. You know, and speaking of things you talk about, also I was listening with much interest, as always, on Sunday, and the discussion of the conditions right now with tomatoes. Of course, so many of us have taken advantage of that warm spell. I actually, did on schedule get my tomatoes out pretty early, running some early girls right now. They were doing fantastic, and then, well, things have started changing here temperature-wise.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. I tell people, go ahead, buy a dartboard, buy some darts. And if I'm wrong about this, you throw darts at me because I hope I'm wrong. And I hoped I was wrong. But you know what? You wasted your money on darts, as my friend Jarrett said. And I hate that. It's going to get cold. The latest forecast I saw looked like 34, 35 degrees in Midtown. And downtown, if it gets that in downtown and Midtown, Mobile, oh my goodness. I suspect frost at least, and maybe freezing temperatures for many listeners out there. So it's just, it's not normal. It's not something we want to see, but it's this year it's worse than normal because we had warm temperatures for much of the winter. So, yeah, it's going to be a caution. It's going to be a worry. It's going to be, you got to get up and do something about it if you've got your tomatoes planted already, because it's going to be cold enough to do some severe damage. I'll have to go back and look to see which mornings exactly. Maybe Sunday, Monday morning is the worst. And but it ain't good. It ain't good at all. I have to remind people that there are a lot of plants that'll survive these temperatures just fine. But we're going to see a lot of damage, and maybe citrus as well.
Certainly. Really?
Yes, I'm afraid that that's going to be true.
Okay, so, I'm going to go back for a second here. I got to ask you. So, with our tomatoes out there, you talk about frost. I mean, we get it. If there's frost or it freezes, but what if it doesn't? So, you know, I covered for the two nights previous. I did not cover last night. It was when I left for about 37 or something, I think is what it said in my truck, 37, 38 this morning. Did I do damage then without it getting a frost on it?
Yeah. So you probably did.
Thanks, Bill. Truth hurts.
Life is hard. So here's the thing. Tomatoes just don't like temperatures below 45 degrees. Temperatures down to 45, probably okay for most tomatoes as long as it doesn't happen every night. In fact, it may even encourage them to produce their flowers a little bit earlier in the year because of that little bit extra stress. But at 45 degrees, a little bit extra stress turns into real stress that actually can cause dwarfing of your tomato plants. I've seen tomato plants that simply don't recover for weeks or months from those kinds of cold temperatures, even though you don't see visible damage. So you definitely want to protect them. Now, the big thing is between 35 and 45, assuming no frost, the biggest problem is keeping the wind off of them. And there's going to be some wind coming in with these fronts, as there always is. I think the winds are the worst. Cold winds are the worst on those tomatoes, at least above 32 degrees. And so you need to, if you got a tomato cage, I always say just wrap the back of that tomato cage this time of year until we get through these cold spells. And have your, if you got a piece of plastic, you can pull it on around if it gets really cold. And that will help a lot. But yes, it can be a problem. It can be a problem.
Okay.
This time of year. And one other thing I'll just say, I'm going to jump in. Don't mulch yet. Do not mulch. Mulch is going to make things worse. So at this point, you do not want to add any mulch, because it's not going to protect your tomato. That's going to keep any soil heat from getting up into the tomato. So you want to pull your mulch back for these cold nights so that warm ground can move up into the tomato plant.
Yeah, you were talking about the wind. You were talking about that on Sunday as well. Is that because it dries it out? I mean, even if it's not, obviously if it's below freezing, it's one thing, but if it's not, how is that wind harming those tomatoes?
Yeah, if I were a researcher, I would probably not be so glib about this, but here's the way I interpret this. Freezing is just another form of drying out and desiccation, basically. Mm-hmm. It happens at a cellular level, but it also happens at the leaf level. And basically what it does is it sort of freezes up the plant from being able to do any of its normal processes. And so it dries out. And so when you get winds that are also drying it and also pulling the heat off. So if you think about, you know, you're out in the wind, there's this thing called wind chill.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because the wind's pulling that heat off of you faster than your body can generate it. That really happens with plants too. So it actually pulls that heat off the plant faster than it can do it, but it also desiccates the plant. So even a little bit of protection from that wind reduces desiccation, reduces the drying out that is going to occur naturally as temperatures get lower. And it makes a huge difference. I mean, we've seen, you know, I've read these studies, incredible studies, where people were looking at plants that normally wouldn't survive 28 degrees are suddenly surviving 20 degrees because they've been covered. And so there's no wind that's gotcha. Actually causing problems there. And it's increasing the humidity as well. The other weird thing is that as temperatures drop, humidity lowers. That's something you're familiar with, Sean.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And that affects plants in bad ways. It's all about drying out in one way or another.
Okay, so we're going to cover, we're going to go back to cover, and I'm pulling the tents back out, the tarp tents I put over. If it goes to 33, I mean, do I need to add a heat source? I mean, obviously we're capturing the heat coming out of the ground, but do I, at that temperature?
No,
I think
if you can cover your tomatoes now on these nights, I think for the most part at 33 degrees, you're going to be fine. You're probably going to be just fine. People have heard me say that I like a wall of water, which is a device you can buy. You fill the little tubes with water. It makes a ton of difference. I mean, it makes a ton of difference. You can get down to 18 degrees and the tomato wouldn't be bothered. And it's a very simple device, very easy to use. I hate to get people to have to go buy contraptions, but it's a contraption that's very useful and hard to reproduce in any other way. But if you don't have that, at least putting a good blanket over your plants at night will help tremendously at 33 degrees. At 30 degrees, it probably won't be enough. So if you're up to Citronelle and it's going to get to freezing or below, you're probably not going to have enough with just a cover.
Okay, so at that point, add some kind of heat, if you can pull it off, some kind of heat source inside.
Yeah, and what that heat source could be is many different things. You know, here's a little thing. If you've been out mowing and you've gotten your first grass off for the year, mm-hmm. and it's starting to get, you know, stinky and kind of hot, you ever notice that? And it's in a bag?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, think about what that does. Put it under there with your tomatoes and then cover them both. And you've trapped that heat, and that is an incredible heat source. So there's a lot of ways to put heat next to the tomato.
You know, you also mentioned citrus there that got my attention. So, I don't think I've seen the blooms already, but, I mean, some people have blooms out there. Is that what we're worried about, losing the blooms?
Yeah, that's right. I think at this point we're just talking about worried about losing some blooms. I don't know. It'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting experiment to see whether 33 degrees, 34 degrees affects buds or flowers, but it's going to be pretty close. And so it could be a problem. The flowers that are more protected under the canopy may be the only ones that produce fruit. So probably, I mean, I could imagine in July or August, people are going to say to me, oh, my citrus is doing something really weird. It's only fruiting on one side, and it's all at the bottom. And I'm going to say, yeah, that fruit was protected through that cold spell that we're talking about with Sean right now.
All right. And speaking of things in the yard, too, Cameron says to ask you about hydrangeas. He said, mine have all leafed out and are vulnerable to north winds. Also, I will be hosing the frost off early in the morning. Does that help or hurt?
I don't think hosing the frost off will help a whole lot. But definitely that hydrangea's in a vulnerable place. I would say that it would just be better in general just to throw a sheet over the hydrangea and make sure that the sheet doesn't blow off, which is always a challenge. But try not to put some weights down on the edges of that sheet. That'll be far more effective than standing out there with a hose and getting wet and not really helping the plant at all.
All right. Don asked about blueberry bushes.
Oh, heavens to Betsy. It's just driving me crazy because I'm going to lose my blueberries this year. And it just irritates the stew out of me. If you can cover them, it's good. They will tolerate down to 28 degrees. So if you're staying above 28 degrees, you're probably fine. The fruits, that's the flowers, excuse me, to 28 degrees. The fruits may be vulnerable at around 30 degrees. So it's getting pretty close. I would certainly cover those blueberries. It doesn't hurt to get a few of those fruits pruned, because a lot of times you end up with a lot more blueberries than you can even pick. And if you lose 30% or 40% of those blueberries, the rest of them will be bigger and you really won't lose that much volume. So, yeah, it's a concern. If it gets below 30 degrees, you really need to cover your blueberry.
Just ask this one. I don't think I'm in trouble, but, it looks like this Irishman has a good crop of potatoes going. I have some in containers. The stuff in the ground I'm not going to worry about, but I have some in big molasses container, cattle feed containers. Do I need to do anything with them?
Yeah, so, that wind on the edges of those containers, that's going to be tough, Sean. They're going to be more vulnerable to cold, particularly in the containers. The ones in the ground, all you got to do is throw some straw over or leaves over, and they'll be fine, even if it gets below freezing. I would say, though, if it doesn't get below 33 or 34 degrees, the potatoes should be fine. The leaves might get a little frosted, but they'll recover from that pretty quick. It's just the temperatures when they get down to around 30, then you're going to have to worry about potatoes really, really carefully.
On the kind of the overall year to year, things change year to year, but are you in any way with the kind of the temperature changes and the variances, are you changing when you say it's time to put tomatoes out? Are you changing that?
No, I can't. That's a dilemma. Well,
if we put them out late, they get assassinated by every critter out there. But if we put them out early.
I'd have to acknowledge that there was a change in the seasons and climate, which I'm ready to do. I don't know how many other people are ready to do that, but there is. I mean, it's clearly happening. A lot of people never adjusted to the old climate and season, so they're probably, it's probably just as well. But what I have always said is that you plant your tomatoes in April, you are in for trouble, because by the time those tomatoes are ready to produce, the heat's going to be bad, the night temperatures are going to be really high, the humidity is going to be up, the rains are going to be happening, you're going to get stink bugs all the time, it's going to be just a bear. And so long ago, when I got tired of hearing people in Mobile complain about their tomatoes, I started the idea of, well, we got to really start planting them earlier and earlier. And we moved it back to as early in March as possible, even late February for the warmest areas around Gulf Shores and on Dolphin Island, and get them in the ground so that we can get those tomatoes producing before we end up with all these summer problems. Well, summer's only gotten worse. I mean, the daytime temperature is about the same, but nighttime temperatures are happening much earlier. High nighttime temperatures are moving back in June, back almost into May. We used to have a little bit of, so we get no luxury there. We get nothing there. So we can't not plant early if we want tomatoes. We still have to plant early, but we just have to protect them. We have to be ready to protect them because we're getting these crazy things happening in spring as well.
Here we go. Well, you know what? You help us navigate it every Sunday, and hopefully we'll have a change in the forecast before you come on Sunday.
Yeah, I hope your darts are useful. That's all I can say.
There we go. Bill Finch, as always, man, pleasure talking.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
All right. There he is. Bill Finch, playing gardening for the Gulf Coast on Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 here at FM Talk 106.5. We're coming right back. This is Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5 on this Thursday. Hey, heads up, too. Boating season is here. Whatever Dr. Bill's forecast says, it's here. People have been out already. But maybe this is the year for you to get rid of the boat. Or you're getting another boat. I've got a way for you to get the top dollar for your boat without the headache, and that's my buddy Forrest at Blue Water Yacht Sales and the brokerage service. They can sell your boat for you and still get you as much as you would selling it on your own. So here's how it works. All right. So I talked to Forrest about this, and I've sold many boats over the years, and you got to deal with the tire kickers or taking the boat down to the launch and riding people around. They're never going to buy the boat, and all the waste of time. Well, what if you could get just as much money and not have to do that? Well, that's what they do at Blue Water Yacht Sales. They are well-respected in the high-end boat brokerage network, so they know how to market your boat. They know where people are looking for your kind of boat, the people that are ready to buy your boat. So your boat is exposed to those customers who are willing to pay and ready to buy. And you don't have to deal with the headaches of selling them. And for a minimum price, they also could do a full service and clean up so that boat looks perfect when you put it up for sale. Call for us today at 476-2699 and discuss getting your boat on the market. Blue Water Yacht Sales Service and Brokerage in Mobile and Orange Beach. Yeah, if you're going to sell that boat, maybe to buy the next one, maybe you're just going to take a year off, check them out. It is Blue Water Yacht Sales, 476-2699 in Mobile and Orange Beach. All right, Paul Feinbaum show on the way in just minutes here. We'll do it all again tomorrow for the Friday edition of Midday Mobile. Remember, the app is waiting for you. If you're an Android user, go to Google Play. iPhone user, go to the App Store and look for FM TALK 1065. No point between the 6 and 5. See our logo there? That's the app. Download it. It should be pretty quick. And then you can stream the station. Check out all the podcasts, all our social media news feeds, latest traffic information with the traffic map on there, weather information if you're worried about your tomatoes or whether you need a jacket when you step out. That's all on there as well as show schedules and all that good stuff. So check it out. Speaking of show schedules, Auburn Hoops tonight coming on 6-ish. They were between 5, you know, it's how they do basketball tournaments. So 5:50 to 6:15 in there. Auburn Hoops starts right here at FM Talk 106.5. All right, Feinbaum, we'll talk about that and a whole lot more when he takes over in just a minute. All right, talk to you tomorrow.